We're live from SENSA Studio Lumo. Miles Fitzner with you, filling in for Kim Dillon, Michelangelo Rucci, as always. And Kimbo and the Rooch is brought to you by Balfours. No matter your club colours, Balfours are for the game. Well, Rooch, growing up a Geelong supporter as a kid.
Of course.
Oh, no, I've got a little bit excited about this. You want to talk guys with CVs, 313 games, three-time premiership player, All-Australian 2011, Geelong assistant coach James Kelly. He joins us. How are you, James?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, mate, pretty excited talking to you. I'll give you the red hot tip. But I did fly to Melbourne. I did fly to Melbourne and called the game last week at Marvel, and it wasn't a pretty game. But under to St Kilda in a game that you probably had by the scruff of the neck. Sort of, what was the wash up from the Saints game?
Yeah, I think the main thing was we didn't really handle the really big momentum swing in the game like as well as we would have liked to have. I think about 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, we were still 20 points up, and then they kicked a few goals and we weren't able to then score again to, you know, sort of arrest their momentum. So that was kind of one of the main things we reviewed was we feel like it's the momentum swings in games are happening a lot and they're becoming maybe more important and bigger swings than they have in previous years. So we sort of spent a little bit of time on that, but generally we felt like we controlled the game for big chunks and, you know, 90% of the game was ours, we felt. But we just obviously, without stating the obvious, we just had to handle that period better and show an ability to stifle the game a bit more or score ourselves.
James, it's your first year back at Cadinia Park, and we shouldn't assume just because you played on the halfback line or in the midfield that that's the area that you're working as an assistant coach. Which portfolio did they give you?
Well, we don't really have,
okay,
this is a bit,
yeah,
different for me too. We don't really have distinct areas. So there's myself, Nigel Lapp and Sean Grigg and Scotty, and we just kind of muck in and get it all done ourselves. So we didn't really want, and Scotty has sort of been a real driver of this, we didn't really want clear lines of distinction between your roles and then that flow into holding back opinions on different lines, people getting their feathers up about lines. So we just wanted things to be really open and conversational about the whole team. And Scotty's a real believer in more players should have more access to more coaches more often. So, you know, if I want to talk to a player about something, I should feel free to just get over there and have a chat to him about it. And from my experience coming back into that, it really does generate a lot of conversation, especially amongst coaches, and you don't feel like you can't say, oh, hey, you know, what about this or what about that? We're just kind of pooling our ideas and picking out the best ones for the team, not just for your area.
What's the feedback from the players like?
I think they're enjoying it. Yeah, we sort of check in with the players a fair bit. The feedback's been pretty good. Like on match day, we do sort of try to line it up a little bit. But I think the players like a bit more of a relaxed feel and things being a bit more conversational and, you know, players will do different reviews, different weeks and not having the same coach in your ear all the time,
yep,
can actually be better for your learning and how you feel, you know, different sort of some coaches or every coach coaches differently. So the feedback so far has been good. And at this point in time, we would say the coaches are enjoying it as well.
So at the huddles at quarter time, three quarter times, and then in the rooms at half time, do you still break up into three groups or is it just one big group and everyone's talking?
Yeah, well, the boys still break up into their three groups and the coaches will have a bit more of a debrief rather than just go straight to the lines and just start talking to the line. So we sort of believe that allows the players to debrief themselves a little bit. They're the ones that we actually want really in the game and really aware of what's going on rather than us coming down and telling them what's happening. So it allows them to sort of chat a little bit more and then we can sort of get our ducks in a row and if there's, you know, some things that each line needs, we may even just rotate around a little bit. And Scotty just kind of sheriffs all that and just pulls bits and pieces together as he sees fit.
James, there's been a bit of press around the Geelong game plan and how they've changed it this year. We can see that things are being done a little bit differently. I think a lot of supporters have sort of had in the back of their mind that it hasn't quite yet gelled. Do you still hold the belief there that when that clicks in that you're competitive with the likes of the Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions?
Yeah, I think so. We beat Brisbane down here early in the year and played played the way we're trying to play really well. I think what comes with learning new systems is inconsistency. We haven't quite got where we want to from a consistency point of view, but when we have played the way we're asking the players to play and the way the coaches think is the best way to play, when everyone's on the same page with that, and when I say everyone, I mean coaches and players, we've looked really good, and we feel like we're still a really competitive, really dangerous team. The difference in the game plan and things, different messaging, even myself being there as a new coach, that just takes time to settle down. Players do get really used to certain things and certain decisions they make under pressure and certain voices and all that sort of stuff. So we feel like we believe in the path that we're on, but it's never smooth sailing. But as long as we get it where it needs to be by the end of the year, we'd be pretty happy.
One thing that's notable, James, is you're scoring 93 points a game. That's your best scoring average since 2017. Is it just as simple as having two big blokes called Cameron and Hawkins at the front?
Certainly helps, doesn't it? I think we want to give those guys the best opportunity to kick goals. That's an easy thing to say, and that requires 16 other players on the field to get the ball down there to those two. But, we've got a real strength and a real weapon with those two guys down there, and we want to maximise that as much as we can, as well as the talent we've got in the back line and through the midfield. So, to kick more goals, and I think, if we find ourselves in a really tight game at the back end of the year, just having the ability to kick goals when we need to, will be a really valuable tool to have if we get there. So we don't want to get to those positions and say to the players, we're three goals down at three-quarter time. You guys have got to kick five goals in 20 minutes. Go get it done. We want to, give the tools to the players so they can use them when they need to.
So you spoke of the inconsistency. You've been in a win-loss, win-loss sequence for a while now. Is that the byproduct of the players still learning what this game plan is, or are there other issues?
I think it's probably a little bit of learning, and to be honest, it's probably a little bit of us as coaches trying different things as well, like thinking that worked, do we stick with that, do we want to move with this? And the luxury that we've got as coaches is that we do have a really experienced group that we can make changes and the players can just sort of work with it. They're a really patient group and really well, obviously, experienced group. But I think it's probably a little bit of both. It's one of those sort of things. It's not just one thing that you can really put your finger on and say, look, if we sort that out, everything's going to be smooth sailing, because as soon as you think that, it's like, it's the AFL, it'll shift again for you. So it's just, inconsistency in everything that we have to iron out.
We're talking with assistant coach James Kelly. James, you're still missing a few stars, though. Menegola, Radagalia, Sean Higgins got general soreness. Where's Reece Stanley at?
Reece is training around the track today, so I'm not 100%. I was working with a couple other players when he was out there, but I did hear that he was feeling okay. So I guess once I get off this call, I'll check it up. Not that it'll help you guys, but...
A lot the generic, mate. Geez, you train well straight into this coach role.
Yeah, I know. It's hard not to, isn't it? The honest answer is I don't know, but I just don't want to say that. So I think he's okay. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
What about our old friend Patrick Dangerfield? Hasn't trained this week. Are you sure and confident, because of his experience and the way you know that he prepares mentally anyway, that he'll be good to go against Port Adelaide?
Yeah, he's done that before. And, Pat, he's an unbelievable player. Yeah, if he puts his hand up and says he's right, then, I'll ride that. I think he's well within his rights to make that call, and a really honest person to make it in the right way.
James, if I had to ask you one focus from Port Adelaide that you're looking to sort of tackle, what is it for you guys from the Port Adelaide side that you need to deal with?
I think their work around the contest is really good. I don't think they're the team that was 0-5. I don't think they're that team anymore. They're playing really, really good footy, and their defence is better. Their mids roll back to help out their back line a lot, and their stuff around the contest and has always been really good. They just, early in the year, I don't think they got the benefit from it. But yeah, their contested work and their midfielders are good. So we have to, We have to be really good in that area, as well as get the ball to our forwards and give them a good chance.
James, you and your mates at Geelong were very greedy for a while. 4 grand finals, 3 premierships.
Oh, how good was it?
It's a big day today to have the grand final confirmed as a day fixture still. As a player, how would have you felt about the timing of the grand final? I know everyone says, look, you just want to play in it, but did you prefer the night events or a day grand final?
Oh, look, it's a really hard one. I'm firmly in the camp of, I don't think players really care that much. Mm-hmm. I think players think that they care, but if it was a night game or a day game, a player would just prepare accordingly.
Yeah.
We play enough night games throughout the year that it's not an unusual thing for teams to play a night game. I like the idea of a night game for a change-up. You know, I'm not really strong on anything with it. I think the important part is, you know, what the grand final is and what the mood it puts everyone in and what it does for everyone. I think I'd even be open to the grand final being like it is in America with the Super Bowl, how it changes ovals every year.
Right, you've got our vote for AFL CEO. When do you want to start?
Yeah, I think that even that would be a good thing for the game nationally. And I know, you know, traditionalists don't like that and MCC people wouldn't like that, but the timing of the grand final doesn't mean much to me.
Yeah, just like a home prelim every now and then, wouldn't we, James?
I'd be more vocal about something like that than I would be about at the time of the grand final.
Yeah, had to get that in. Hey, James, appreciate your time, mate. You had a superstar career. Love watching you go about it. Good luck against Port on the weekend, mate. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, James.
James Kelly, their assistant. Yeah. I had to get that in, Roach.
Oh, I can understand.
It's home prelims down at GMHBA.
Isn't it delightful to hear someone who's in that Victorian heartland of Australian football say, don't mind it being moved around the ground?
Yep. But it's a new way. Like, the new way. Geez, we saw, we've got to talk about it throughout the show too, but we saw plenty of people get active about it. Don't forget, too, the Cats are celebrating their 10th, I've got to get this right too, Roach, the Geelang match, which is short for Tongue of Land, which what Geelong means in Aboriginal. So it's an integral contribution to the First Nations people and cultures to the game of Australian rules football. And look, they're celebrating their 10th down there too. So since 2012, they've led that program for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural connection. So well done to them down there as well.
And Geelong certainly has had some great Indigenous players, probably none greater than Polly Farmer. You couldn't
Polly
find
Farmer.
Anyone better at Geelong than Polly Farmer, could you?
No, Ronnie Burns was good, but he wasn't in the Polly Farmer category.
He was a great man, Polly Farmer.
Certainly was. Let's jump to a break, Roach, on the other side of this. Plenty more to come on Kimbo on the Roach, all thanks to Balfours. So no matter your club colours, we are for the game.